Abbas, and good afternoon. This is Kes Stutis-Davidas, and you're listening to Independent Lithuanian Radio right here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial and streaming audio over the internet. Of course, that's where they stream it, www.ktym.com. Thanks again, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to Independent Lithuanian Radio. Happy Joninės. Happy St. John's Day. Happy summer solstice. Yes, that's what it is. We'll talk a little bit more about it in a minute, but bottom line is, longest day, shortest night. And Lithuanians celebrate, commemorate, and party during this time. And big events went on all over the country and in Vilnius. We'll talk about it in a minute. And in the meantime, we'll bring you up to date on the weather. Thunderstorms throughout the capital all day, on and off, soaking people in certain neighborhoods more than in others. And tomorrow, Sunday, it'll be partly cloudy with a slight chance of a repeat condition, a little bit, but not nearly the kind of localized flooding that happened in Vilnius today. Monday, the 82, Tuesday, 78, 79 Wednesday, and then dropping into the low 70s by the last weekend of the month of June in the capital of Lithuania. So, yeah, here you go. Joninės, St. John's in English, is among the most popular and esteemed festivities in Lithuania. Now, remember, Lithuania was the last European country to accept Christianity. And that has a lot to do with the importance of this ancient pre-Christian tradition. It's actually a worldwide tradition to celebrate the summer solstice, to somehow commemorate it, but it particularly celebrated and in Lithuania. I mean, think about it. You know, are we having any summer solstice celebrations in Los Angeles? Well, in that part of the world, Lithuania, Eastern Europe, Central Europe, it's still a very big deal, okay? And anyway, give you an idea of some of the things that go on during the summer solstice. Again, now we call it Joninės, and that's because after Christianity was accepted, they named it St. John's Night. So all the Jone, all the Johns, that sounds like something. All the people with the name of John or John in their names, okay, it is their name day. It's sort of like their birthday. It's a very important celebration. So if you know someone named John, then you give them a present, you sing them a song, you bring them flowers or candy. Okay, so that's the equivalent. But then in the ancient tradition, everyone celebrated the summer solstice. So basically, you stay up all night, okay? Stay up all night, you make wreaths, you gather herbs, you look for the magic fern, and boys and girls light fires and candles and send them floating down the river in the wreaths they have made. Supposedly, if the wreaths touch, they're destined to be married and have a family. Anyway, let's talk about what happened specifically in Vilnius last night in Verkių Parkas. Okay, it was a 6 o'clock in the evening. The festivities started, and the people dressed up. You know, lots of people came casually. Of course, there's lots of tourists because this is pretty much downtown Vilnius. It begins with greetings and gate-circling ceremony in the entrance to the park. This park is right outside of Old Town near the river. Well, see, one thing about St. John's Night, about Joninės, is you try to have your festivities near water because you have to float the wreaths later. Okay, there are fire rites. The fire is lit and a bonfire is begun. There's a cappella folk singing goes on, and then you wait for sunset. Now, sunset comes very late because it's the longest day of the year. So the sun sets something like probably 11 or 12 at night and midnight, and then you have the short night. It doesn't get completely pitch black, but it's night, but it's only about 3 or 4 hours long, and then the sun begins to come up. And in the meantime, people are dancing around the bonfire, jumping over the fire for purification, and, you know, songs, dances, food, herbal, medicinal tea drinking, and then you have a torchlit procession that goes down to the river, and everybody's wreaths are floated down the river until sunrise. A variety of other traditional pagan-inspired activities takes place. Again, looking for the magical fern flower, the Paparchu Giedas. Bathing in the river, preferably naked. Honoring of the forest, and then cleaning yourself with morning dew and greeting the sun. So you gather up the morning dew and you bathe in it, and then you greet the morning sun. So there's plenty to revel in, and thousands, literally thousands of people, young and old, all over Lithuania last night did that. So we hope you, in some way, commemorate St. John's Joninis, the summer solstice, right here in Los Angeles. A couple other things going on locally, okay, and that is tonight there's the Abiturientu Balus. Now, if you don't know what an abiturientas is, it's a high school graduate. Okay, the high school graduates of our Lithuanian American community are honored for coming of age, so to speak, graduating high school. And the abituriente that will be honored tonight at St. Casimir's Parish Hall are Claudius Baltakaitis, Krista Jogaita, Vaiva Rolinaitita, Andrus Ruplenas, Danutė Skola, and Vilius Vyšniauskas. One more time, the seven young people that tonight will be honored are Claudius Baltakaitis, Krista Jogaita, Vaiva Rolinaitita, Andrus Ruplenas, Danutė Skola, and Vilius Vyšniauskas. And pardon me, there are six of them. So there you go. Congratulations on graduation, and may you go on in your lives. And remember your roots, remember your heritage, remember your Lithuanianism. And those of you who like that word will know exactly where I got it. I'll tell you, hint, Lietuviškumas. And finally, before we take a break, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Donna Paškevičienė of Santa Monica. She's been in our community a long time. Everybody knows who she is, Donna Paškevičienė. Happy birthday, Ilgiausių metų, to you. We'll be right back. Well, even though I'd like to, you know, if it were possible, kidnap these guys and bring them back to Lithuania and try them alive in absentia is better than nothing. Boleslav Makutinovich and Vladimir Razvodov, two former commanders of the Soviet Special Purpose Militia, also known as OMON, O-M-O-N, in Vilnius, will stand trial in absentia for war crimes in Lithuania, prosecutors said on Thursday. Prosecutors said they have finished the indictment and established 16 episodes or events, including assaults against border checkpoints, weapon seizure, and inflicting injury upon people and shooting episodes. According to the prosecutor general's office, Russia has refused to extradite Makutinovich and Razvodov and has not yet responded to a request for legal assistance to inform the accused about their right to get acquainted with material of the pre-trial investigation. The accused will be tried in absentia, which is allowed in a case of war crimes and crimes against humanity, the office said in a statement released Thursday. It has been said that 39 persons are victims, named victims, and civil claimants in this case. Some 14 people were killed during an attempt by the Soviet Army and Special Forces to take over the Vilnius TV tower in January of 1991, and more than 1,000 unarmed civilians were injured. Seven police and customs officers who guarded the border of Lithuania, then unrecognized by the Soviet Union, were killed at the Medininkai border checkpoint in July of the same year by OMON forces, special purpose militia forces. Keep in mind, this isn't something about, they want to extradite these folks from Russia, and the Russians have put up all kinds of legal arguments and about their rights. They basically ignore the Lithuanians. They basically ignore them. So anyway, I consider that to be one of the most important stories breaking this week. And it's important to do these things and keep the memory of those events alive and send a message to the world via these trials and keep reminding the world of what happened in Lithuania. And it wasn't just a cakewalk. It wasn't all the singing revolution stuff where everybody just held hands and sung and boom, the Soviet Union collapsed and Gorbachev got the Nobel Peace Prize. But before that, because he opened things up and all kinds of, flowery versions, okay? It got nasty at the end. It got very nasty and people died and blood was spilt. And it's important, once again, to remember the developments and what really happened back then, 23 years ago. Now let's switch to today. If you've been listening to me for any amount of time, especially over the past several weeks, we've been talking about shale oil, shale gas, natural gas in Lithuania, especially along the area near the Polish border, how there's tons and tons of it, how we should exploit it, how this is an opportunity for Lithuania, at least in my opinion, to become energy independent. Energy independent from the Soviets, from the Russians, who control the natural gas supply and blackmail Lithuania with higher prices. And my fears are being met. I can't believe some of the photographs and some of the propaganda that I'm seeing from Lithuania. I have a photograph here and film clips, and you can check it out on YouTube, too. For example, there are demonstrators in Vilnius, okay, that are carrying a sign that says, "Welcome į pragarą," okay? In other words, welcome to hell. And it's a, it's a banner that shows all these, money and dollars and oil companies drilling, fracking for gas. They're scaring the people. Okay, now they've got people demonstrating. They're carrying signs. Fear has been instilled in them that if fracking begins, if for oil gas, it will ruin everything, ruin the country, ruin the pristine environment, so on and so forth. It's just amazing what's happening, and what's behind these, so to speak, environmental green groups is Russian money and Russian edges, because they want this to happen because they continue to extort exorbitant prices from Lithuania. If I said it once, I said it 100 times. Lithuania does not pay a market price for natural gas. It pays whatever price Russia says it will pay. It pays a different price than Latvia pays. It pays a different price than Poland pays. It pays a different price than all other countries pay. Why? Because Lithuania is a thorn in the side of Russia. And they pay the highest prices for natural gas in the European Union. Okay, so it's not about, tough, that's the market rate and fracking, might be dangerous. No, it's about extortion and about scaring people into not developing a resource that they have. On top of that, to complicate matters, there's a special report. It's amazing how these reports come out, right? According to the daily Lietuvos Rytas, certain U.S. scientists claim that Lithuanian shale gas might be sufficient for 30 years. But a U.S. Energy Information Agency report supposedly said that Lithuania has only enough gas for 3 years. So, why bother, right? There's only 3 years worth of gas. Didn't they tell us about 20 years ago that we'd hit peak oil and there's no more gas and there's no more oil in the world and we're all going to be, we better go to solar or else it's over? Remember that. We were all told that we ran out of everything 2 decades ago. As a matter of fact, I think we were told the end of the world would have happened about 10 years ago, as a matter of fact. But anyway, I digress. The U.S. Energy Information Agency supposedly has announced that 0.4 trillion cubic feet, which is about 10 billion cubic meters of shale gas, could be extracted in Lithuania. Lithuania annually consumes approximately 3 billion cubic meters. However, the recent calculations of this agency indicate that there are 10 times more shale gas in Lithuania, but only one-tenth of it could be extracted with modern technologies. Now, this is really interesting because Lithuanian geologists, okay, now these are no schlocks, you know, these are people with PhDs and the like. Lithuanian geologists have calculated that there's 100 billion cubic meters of gas, and the resources are almost five times larger. By that count, global resources would increase by 50% just from the gas in the Lithuanian-Polish corridor there. The Energy Information Administration estimates that from the 41 countries having shale gas fields, quote, technically it is possible to extract 345 billion barrels of oil. The administration said that the oil reserves of 204.5 billion cubic meters would increase the world's natural gas resources by 47%. However, the fact that they can be technically extracted does not guarantee that they will be extracted. It has been calculated how much oil or gas could be extracted by using the latest technology, but it has not been calculated whether the countries have the financial capabilities to extract these resources. So they're saying, oh my God, you know, you can talk about all these reserves, but in reality, you can only take out this much on existing technology. Well, ladies and gentlemen, did you even hear of fracking 5 years ago? There was no technology. Now there is. What do you think will happen 5 years from now? I'm going to harp on this story forever just to get everybody on the same page. Lithuania has a natural resource. That was a big joke for years. Lithuania has no natural resources. What are you going to do, you know? Sell peat moss, you know? Yeah, it has beautiful water. It has pristine lakes, rivers, and streams. But what can you, there's no gold, there's no silver, there's no copper, there's no mining, there's no uranium, there's no oil, there's no gas. Well, guess what? Now there is. And Lithuanians in Lithuania should be doing something about it. And us, quote-unquote, diaspora Lithuanians, the Lithuanians in the rest of the world, ought to be pushing our friends, relatives, and anybody we know there with any kind of influence to develop. It's the ticket out. It would bring back thousands of young people for jobs. It's everything it should be, and nothing to be afraid of if done properly. And there are American companies who know how to do it cleanly, who are doing it right now in the upper Midwest and Northwest, and are doing it safely and cleanly right now, today, every day. Google it, look in the newspapers, look for high-paying jobs in the oil and gas industry, and you're going to find jobs that pay $100 plus an hour, and they're right here in Northwest United States of America by American oil companies fracking. Okay, so hopefully they'll get over it. Switching gears a little bit, there's an interview with Mayor Zorkas. He's the mayor of Vilnius. He's an interesting character. And this interview is in a publication known as Lithuania Tribune. It's an English language publication. And it begins with the question to him is like, you're not from Vilnius, right? And Zorkas answers, well, I was born in Kaunas. My parents worked all over Lithuania. They lived in different cities where they could get an apartment, and most of his life was spent in Anykštė and Jonava. I didn't come to Lithuania till I went to university. I hardly knew Vilnius at all till I turned 20 years of age. So the interview goes, so some might say that a mayor from another city doesn't know what the citizens of Vilnius really need, since you have no cultural connection to metropolitan heritage of Vilnius. Don't you feel you lack a connection to the city? And great answer. I see no difference in origin. This city is unique in its essence. The number of native citizens, or those who represent second plus family generation living in Vilnius, is small. Let's face the facts. It is only in and since 1986 that half of our local community became Lithuanian. Earlier than that, most of Vilnius' citizens were people of Russian or Polish origin. That's why this city is very special. Now, if you're talking about city management, I would say the most important factor is managerial skills. And he goes and talks about how he is a good manager. But then the interviewer asks another question. He says, 400 years ago, Vilnius was referred to something unclear. It wasn't quite a city, but it was too big to be a village. And only later did it get taken seriously. People who arrive in modern Vilnius see skyscrapers built with your support, Mr. Mayor. But still, there are some details of the modern city portrait which preserve its antique atmosphere of a provincial town, such as poor quarters of Schnippischke's neighborhood near the modern urban skyscrapers, such as a city municipality tower where we talk with you right now. What would happen to this area in the future? Should this area full of wooden construction be kept in the way it is done for heritage sake in the Nordic states? He answers, surely the development of Vilnius is inevitable. The territory of our city, now this is interesting, listen to this. The territory of our city is four times larger than that of Paris. Vilnius is known as one of the largest cities in Europe by area. It is on the list of the top 10 largest European capitals, even if the population is much smaller than in other places. So, ladies and gentlemen, put this on your fun facts to know, okay? Today, Vilnius has about 550,000 citizens. We should not spread it further, but do vice versa. Catch up on building the city, starting where the great Duke Gediminas did. We pay much attention to the center of the city. By saying the center in this case, I don't mean Old Town, but I mean the contemporary center of Vilnius, where we are now, where the new city is being built. This is the central construction site for the next 5 years. What you see today will be changing quite enough, but we will keep a small piece of Schnippischke's to save the story of Vilnius from the past, to understand the contrast and see how the city is changing. I adore the idea of modern city neighboring old towns inside and different lifestyles right next to each other. So a part of Schnippischke's will be kept as a monument of wooden architecture, and I think that this place will be very special to those who will live in skyscrapers built right next door. So there's sort of the master plan, ladies and gentlemen, in Vilnius. You already have the old town that's been preserved and is a cultural center, and you have the new city, and you have these strange little neighborhoods that are kind of run down and beat up. And what Zorkas is saying, Mayor Zorkas is saying, is that there is going to be a preservationist movement to save some of this old architecture, which truly is in poor shape in some places. On the other hand, if you're willing to believe this, it is a great part of Vilnius to invest in, and for lack of a better word, to speculate in. So something for you to think about. They go on to ask, what do you think about lofts and squats? And he says, I like lofts. Squats are okay until some lines are not being crossed, like happened during squatters' conflicts in Germany and Britain. Loft living is a wonderful lifestyle. Unfortunately, there's not much old industrial areas that could provide the opportunity to build or transform them into high-quality lofts. Some lofts in Vilnius still cause trouble and might not be safe for living due to this substantial level of industrial pollution in that type of housing. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, as summer comes along and your children are going to Lithuanian youth conferences in London, and then they fly off to Lithuania to have a good time, you know, encourage them and you yourselves, if you're going, to get out of Old Town, get out of Vilnius, do a little exploring. You may be surprised of the nooks and crannies that you'll find in and around Vilnius, and then get out to the country. Get out to the country because it's beautiful, and you deserve to see it while it still is that way. On that note, I'm going to sort of segue into this story that the Belarusians are going to use Lithuania's very positive experience in creating farmstead tourism. that the Belarusians, right next door, longest common border with the dictatorship, Belarusia, they're going to use Lithuania's example to develop a tourism system. Now, if you've ever done sort of an eco-tourism trip They call it rural tourism, and they call it farmstead tourism, and that's where you go to people's country farms and homes, and sometimes they're working. It's like going to a dude ranch, a working ranch. You go over there, you live there. If you want, you participate in the activities. If not, you just relax. It's wonderful. I've done it several times. I try to do it every time that I go to Lithuania. But anyway, the Belarusians will be taking tips and direction from the Lithuanians to do that over there. And the interesting thing about it is I've never been to Belarusia. However, I can pretty much guarantee you that it is less developed even now than Lithuania. It's probably like Lithuania was 25, 30 years ago, which is very compelling because it means these little towns off to the side who haven't seen tourists before but still have this authentic farmhouses and authentic villages where things aren't ruined by modernism can be very easily converted into attractive and authentic vacation places for those of us from the West who are starved for this kind of tourism, this kind of destination. Keep in mind that Belarusians are practically our cousins. Our coat of arms is almost indistinguishable by a common person, the Vitis, as theirs, and that territory was controlled by Lithuania for many, many years. So it wouldn't be unusual to find many ties, and there are many ethnic Lithuanians still living in Belarusia and vice versa. The good news, too, finally, is that this kind of tourism, it's simple, it brings people, but it gives contact. It gives contact from people in Belarusia to people from the West, and that kind of contact encourages the development of democracy, and that is ultimately what is good for Lithuania, the development of democracy in neighboring Belarusia. And finally today, this is the year of Lituanica, or the celebration, commemoration of the historic flight of Steponas Darius and Stasis Girėnas, also known as Darius and Girėnas, who tried to set a record for a transatlantic flight from the United States to Lithuania. So anyway, a replica of the legendary Lituanica flown by these pilots will arrive and welcome participants and guests at Vilnius Aviation Day, which begins at the International Airport on June 22nd. Made ready for the flight only a few days ago, the airplane will become the centerpiece of the event. Vilnius International Airport has also informed that the replica of Lituanica was created in 1983 for a movie about Darius and Girėnas. Later, the plane participated in a number of aviation events in Lithuania and abroad, including stunt flying. In 2003, it flew around Lithuania and afterwards was stored at the Kaunas Aviation Museum. After a 10-year break, mechanics brought this plane back to life and made it ready for the flight to Vilnius Aviation Day. A spokesman said that this celebration, being brought back to life after an 18-year break, is held to mark the 80th anniversary of the flight of Darius and Girėnas across the Atlantic Ocean, and there will be many accents in the program to remind Lithuanians of this. Around 20 or 30 planes will participate in a sky show on Aviation Day organized by Vilnius International Airport, State Enterprise, Oro Navigacija, and the Lithuanian Aero Club. The organizers feel that the event will be visited by about 10,000 fans of aviation. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. More things to do in Lithuania this summer. This is Kęstutis Reivydas for Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. Bye-bye. Субтитры создавал DimaTorzok.